he's answered a lot of the questions that draft analysts had, and he's done it with subpar talent around him on the sidelines from the coaching staff and in the wide receiver core, because the Giants didn't add anybody at the trade deadline. They didn't make any major upgrades, and they did lose their star playmaker in Malik Nabers, and they lost their star running back in Cam Scatterwood. So this offense has basically been held up by Jackson Dart. And that's why I think the Giants do have a golden opportunity to turn things around in 2026. I think that they could be the 2026 version of the Chicago Bears. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Fireside Giants. I'm your host, Anthony Rivardo, joined by my co-host, Alex Wilson. And listen, it's been a tough season for the Giants. It's been a really tough season. 2-11 start. Not the way we expected it to go, not the way we wanted it to go, but the bye week is here, and coming off of a disastrous Monday night loss, a lot of negativity surrounding this team, especially after Joe Shane took the podium for his bye week press conference yesterday. But I don't want to be negative right now. I just want to talk about the positives, because generally speaking, there are some things to be positive about with the New York Giants. They've got a young quarterback that I believe is a franchise quarterback. And even though they're not playing right now, they have two star young playmakers in Malik Nabers and Cam Scatterwood. There are things to be excited about. And even Joe Shane recognized during his press conference yesterday, he acknowledged it, this is an attractive head coaching job. There are people who want to coach this team. I believe that Joe Shane said as much, and all of the reporters that we see and that we listen to, they have all said the same thing. So I honestly think that there are positive things to take away from the season, and that's what we're going to try and do in today's episode. You know, kind of just relax here in this bye week and be a little bit more positive today. We were really upset and frustrated over the last 2 days as a result of that Giants loss. But today, Alex, let's go ahead and focus on the good. So I know you're in the frigid New York weather. I know you said you're real cold today. So how are you doing? How are you feeling? And, you know, when you're looking at this Giants team, do you feel the same as I do? There were some legitimate positives to take away from the season.
Yeah, I mean, listen, yesterday we reamed out Joe Shane and the beat reporters reamed him out. And, it was definitely one of those situations where you question the future of the organization once again and wonder, what is going to happen here? What is going to be the decision from ownership? Clearly, they fired Brian Daboll, as Joe Shane suggested, and they might end up firing Joe as well. And it seemed to me, based on his reaction yesterday, that is a very likely possibility. But let's talk a little bit more about the positives, as you suggested. And I think that there is a lot to be excited about. None more than Jackson Dart. Jackson Dart is the catalyst for everything good that could happen to us. And I kind of want to start there in the sense that if you don't have a quarterback, you are not a very attractive place to coach, not a very attractive place to play. You kind of are just in purgatory. And the Giants, fortunately, don't have to be in purgatory anymore. Jackson Dart has revitalized that position for us. Any head coach, and Joe said yesterday, they're already getting calls. Like, they're not going to have a problem filling the position. The question is, with who? But Dart's presence brings a lot of confidence. You know your offense is going to be competitive most of the time. You just need to round out everything, support him with weapons, have a defense that gives him the ball more frequently, creates turnovers. There's a lot that goes into it, but having that quarterback is such a big positive. Having that position solved is what will get you a Ben Johnson, is what will get you one of those big time coaches that can see themselves building a contender. I think that's a huge step in the right direction in terms of just being an attractive destination. I just now have to have confidence the Giants will pick the right head coach.
I don't know if I have confidence in that, to be completely honest. And that's the problem. It's like we've been in similar situations with the Giants where it's looked like an attractive job before. It's looked like at least it could be an attractive job. And all of a sudden, they go into the offseason. They pick the head coach. We get real excited. 7 months later, we're questioning everything because they made the wrong hiring. And so as excited as I am for this offseason, as excited I am about this team, I think that there is serious potential to attract a great head coaching candidate. I'm also reading reports today from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. Attractive head coaching cycle, just in terms of the candidates. There aren't enough solid candidates this offseason compared to how there were last year. Now, of course, that can change. There's going to be guys who get fired on Black Monday, and there's going to be head coaching candidates who pop up out of nowhere over the next month or two. Even in the playoffs, you're going to WizKid offensive coordinator rise up the candidacy boards because he helped lead his team through a deep postseason run. Like, you're going to see things like that happen. You're one of the best candidates all throughout last season, but that was, you know, over the second half of the year that Lions offense really took off, and then he rose up the board. So it's like, I got to see what the full pool of candidates looks like. But I am a little bit concerned, Alex, you know, not concerned about the Giants being an attractive destination, but is there an attractive candidate like there was last offseason, meaning Ben Johnson? He was a prize to land in that candidacy pool, and the Bears got him. How about Mike Vrabel? An absolute prize, an absolute gem. Patriots got him. Those two teams, number one seeds in both conference, right? So is there that candidate out there for the New York Giants? That's my big question mark.
I mean, I think that it's hard to say until we see what happens. Obviously, someone could arise and can do a really good job. Could be a Shula, could be a Mike McCarthy. Who really knows? I do get the sense, though, that the Giants, at least from what Joe Shane said yesterday and how kind of disappointing that whole press conference was, how kind of low conviction and low confidence it was, the Giants probably want to bring in a coach with experience already. I definitely feel that that might be their preference. The way that I lean when I think about that, you know, obviously Lou Anarumo is a guy that keeps popping up into our feeds and whatnot. I don't love that option. Mike McCarthy is probably the guy that you would look to and say, all right, like, he has the most experience. He'll get you good assistance. He'll, you know, restructure the foundation from a cultural perspective. He has a winning pedigree. Players can buy into that. They can trust that. He has his own issues. Don't get me wrong. Like, he does have his own problems. But at the very least, he's going to rebuild your foundation. And for a new GM stepping into that position, if Joe Shane gets fired or if he gets kept, they need to have a guy in there that the players respect and that is going to create a sense of structure. Because right now, the Giants have no semblance of structure. Their GM is off the wagon. Their coaching staff is completely shredded to bits. They need a guy who's going to come in here and stabilize the entire thing. So, like, unless you either get a GM who's going to do that, which is easier said than done because, you know, you obviously have to get the head coach too, or you bring in a head coach that has a history of building a sound structure. Mike McCarthy knows how to do that. Other options could be like a Cliff Kingsbury. Like, he has experience. Like, there are other guys out there, but I am at this point, I love Shula and what he's done as a coordinator. Don't know what he's like as a leader. That's a big question mark in terms of what he can be as a head coach. But I do feel in my gut the Giants probably want somebody that has a lot of experience already.
I think so too. And I think that's kind of, like you said, they need a stabilizer. They need somebody to reset the culture, to bring in a structure. And you don't usually get that from a rookie head coach. I mean, look at the New York Giants' most recent run at hiring a coach with Brian Daboll. Brian Daboll was a really smart offensive mind when he was with the Buffalo Bills. And for, you know, the last couple of years, that has been called into question. But in 2022, we all sang his praises for getting the most out of Daniel Jones. This season, he did a great job with Jackson Dart and having him get off to a hot start. So, you know, he was a good offensive mind and offensive coach. But in terms of creating a structure and being a leader, that's where he faltered. And that's why he got fired midway through the season. So can the Giants find the guy with that structure who's also able to maximize the talents of the players? That's the big question mark. But here's why I feel like they could land that player, Alex. And this is going to go back into our main topic, which is why the Giants are an attractive destination, why they could be having a golden opportunity to turn around next season. And that's because they do have specific players at specific positions that make this an attractive job. Number one, the franchise quarterback, like you said. Look at Ben Johnson and look at Mike Vrabel. Why did they go to the teams that they went to? Because of the quarterbacks that were there. Ben Johnson made it very clear. He was hired by the Bears, but he only took that job. He had many different jobs that he could have taken. He could have stayed with the Lions and tried to build a dynasty over there as an OC. He went to the Bears, and the reason why is because he wanted to coach Caleb Williams. That's what he said. Why did Mike Vrabel go back to the Patriots? Because he wanted to coach Drake May. Why will the Giants be able to land the top coach on the market this offseason? Because that coach wants to coach Jackson Dart. That's the big key deciding factor that makes the Giants such an attractive destination this offseason. And that's why I have hope for them this upcoming hiring cycle. And on top of that, it's not just Jackson Dart at quarterback, Alex. They have a top five left tackle in football with Andrew Thomas. They have an above average offensive line. They have a number one receiver in Malik Nabers, and they have a star running back in Cam Scadaboo. And that's just the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, yes, they're a little bit of a mess, but they do have a generational talent at defensive tackle with Dexter Lawrence, and they do have a star pass rusher in Brian Burns. Those are some of the most valuable positions in the sport. WR1, QB, left tackle, and edge. The Giants have stars at all of those positions. Now, they don't have a CB, and they don't necessarily have depth at cornerback and safety and linebacker, whatever. We know that there's holes on this team. But if you're a head coach and you want to have a foundation or just kind of pick the most important positions, Giants have those positions, and that's why I think they're going to have a very good opportunity to hire a good coach this offseason.
Yeah, and I know people are running to the comments right now. Doesn't that mean Joe Shane is good? Well, he didn't draft Andrew Thomas. He didn't draft Dexter Lawrence. Malik Nabers is a sixth overall pick, a consequence, a result of being a bad football team. You know, and Brian Burns was the one that I will give him credit for. So, go ahead. What are you going to say?
Yeah, because I also want to say this. Just kind of like, Joe Shane has done some good things in terms of roster building. He's made some great draft picks, and he's made some good trades, and he's made some good signings. He hasn't batted 1,000. He said that yesterday during his press conference, and we can debate if there's been more hits than misses or more misses than hits, whatever. The reason that I want him fired and I want the Giants to clean house is not because of his roster building and roster construction. I don't necessarily think that's been good enough, but that isn't the main issue for me with Joe Shane. It's very easy, Alex, to look at a general manager and just kind of judge him based on the roster moves. Oh, he hit on this pick, he missed on that pick, he fixed this position, that position's gotten worse. It's very easy to look at it from that perspective, but that's only one half of a general manager's job. What about the guys who left who feel disrespected by Joe Shane? I've kind of made this point before, but Saquon Barkley went on a whole tour kind of explaining to everybody, I thought the general manager over there was super disrespectful and I didn't feel respected by him and nobody in the locker room did. And we see all these players leave and they get disrespected by the Giants. They go on to have more success elsewhere. And we see Abdul Carter sleeping through meetings. We learned today that that's been a trend throughout the whole season. Brian Daboll had to fine him several times, and now Mike Kafka is actually benching him as a result of it. So it's been all season long, and there's been so many behavioral problems with guys like Evan Neal, with guys like Deontay Banks, and all these other players, and everybody wants to just chalk it up to, oh, they don't have the right coaching staff. There is also the general manager, and he is involved in this culture that's allowed all of these disrespectful tendencies throughout the locker room with the players who leave. So it's the second half of it. There's the external, the roster, the players that are put onto the field. I actually don't think Joe Shane's done the worst job there. I do think he's found that good young nucleus of talent. But in terms of building the culture and the program building starts at the general manager position. I don't think he's built the right program, and that's why the Giants are losing despite having talent on their roster. So I say, listen, you were paid to do a job over the last 4 years, and you did half of that job, and you did half of that job pretty well, I would say. I think you built a decent roster over 4 years, and you got paid millions of dollars to do that. Now they need to hire somebody who could do the other half of the job, build out the program with the roster in place, take this roster, build on top of it, and build out the program as well. So that's my counterpoint to the Joe Shane thing. I understand people are like, oh, you think it's a golden opportunity? You think it's a good roster? Then you should keep Joe Shane. No, Joe Shane did half of the job well. The other half, I don't think he did well. The Giants need to hire a program builder at the general manager position, and then they can find success in the future with this roster.
I mean, I totally get your point when it comes to the process. I think that when you go and get a guy like Abdul Carter, and the red flags were he has an ego, he is entitled, yada, 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 you need to win football games to actually manage those types of personalities. Winning cures all. That's just the reality of sports. If the Giants were 10 and whatever, 3 right now, or 9 and 4, Abdul Carter wouldn't be missing meetings. He'd be there locked in every single day. But when you are a losing organization with losing coaches and losing players at some key positions, players like Abdul Carter, who's 22 years old and don't have accountability, decide to just do whatever they want because they feel like there is no accountability, because there is no sense of winning. The culture's a toxic one, you could say. So I think if the Giants figure out how to win, everybody's going to fall in line. I would guarantee it. I've been saying lately, the players have been trying to send us messages through the media pretty obviously. I mean, Malik Nabers tweeting, deleting tweets, what Abdul Carter has been doing, Jackson Dart's comments to the media. It is a cry for help from just about everybody in there. So I think that Joe Shane, and I think John Mara has seen that. John Mara is easily convinced by outside pressure to make decisions. That's been the case in the past. And I think that he just got convinced to make an outside decision by outside factors that everybody wants this guy fired. Like, even the beat reporters are pushing. Dan Duggan, who is like the most objective reporter sometimes, is out there pushing to fire Joe Shane. Like, you just get the sense that everyone's against him. And when everybody's against you, you're set up to fail. And when you're set up to fail, the probability is you're going to fail. So I think that ultimately the Giants need to cut bait because Joe Shane is on a sinking ship and there is no lifeboats on it. Imagine the Titanic without any lifeboats. Like, everyone's gone. You know what I mean? Like, there's just no saving this at this point. And on your roster perspective, I think that he's done some good things, but, you know, I do think that there's been a lot of misses, and I think that a lot of the talent is a mirage because, like you mentioned, Deontay Banks, like, failing and, you know, his role, like, we had to spend $54 million to fix a problem that Joe Shane created, right? So it's like, that is a big mirage to me. Like, okay, there's talent, but he had to replace a guy he drafted. You know what I mean? Like, that's a problem. He had to replace a quarterback he paid. He paid Daniel Jones and then had to replace him. You know what I mean? Like, he's been having to replace, and he said he doesn't make the same mistake twice. That I don't buy, because he's continued to make the same mistakes and continued to replace players that he decided to keep or he decided to draft. So, I mean, Jalin Hyatt and Evan Neal on the roster, healthy scratches every week. I mean, look, the same mistake twice would have been healthy scratching them, seeing they don't add value, cutting both of them, and then using that roster spot for more applicable things. Instead, every week he makes the same mistake. You know, we're 13 weeks in now, and every week they are still healthy scratches. So it's like,
yeah,
I don't agree with a lot of his process, but again, trying to be more positive.
Right.
But you mentioned one thing I do want to circle all the way back around. Andrew Thomas, the offensive line. Carmen Brasillo has been such a breath of fresh air for this offensive line. The Giants, like, on paper, you're like, okay, they have a great pass rush, a really good quarterback, a really good offensive line, and they're a 3-win team. Like, that doesn't make sense. Like, if you're 2-win team, yeah, like, from an objective standpoint, that doesn't make much sense. You know what I mean? Like, you should be better than that. So I think that there are some really encouraging perspectives on this offensive side. We can start there. Dart, obviously, we don't have to, you know, kind of go back in time for that one, but Neighbors coming back from the ACL tear. You have a top five pick. You have a solid offensive line. I know that Jermaine Illuminor is a free agent. So is Greg Van Roten. I'd bring both of them back. And then I would draft someone in the mid rounds again to keep. That's what good teams do, by the way. They keep good offensive linemen and then they draft guys to replace them. They develop them over time. They have them on multi-year deals like that. That's the cycle you want to be in. Illuminor is 31 years old. He's not going to get a massive payday. I'm thinking more like a two-year, $30 million extension will probably get it done. That's very reasonable and very, very doable for the Giants. You keep Greg Van Roten on a literal veteran minimum deal. It's like $2 million per season. He's 37 next year. He's a solid player, if not a backup, a good backup. And then you have Marcus Bell, who knows? Maybe he turns into a solid swing tackle, or he maybe even transitions to guard. You know, who knows where he ends up going? We'll save that for a rainy day. But, you know, the Giants do have a nice structure in several critical spots. There's a lot to work with there. That is going to be very attractive for a head coach. Like, if Ben Johnson was in this cycle, he'd be like, I could do a lot with Cam Scadaboo, Malik Neighbors, and Jackson Dart. You know what I mean? Plus a top five pick. Now you have to ask a new head coaching candidate, whether they're experienced or not, what are you going to do to build around this? What is your plan to make our offense great? And I think that the already foundation is built. Now it's just actually layering the modern techniques and the modern tendencies on top of it.
That's the funny part, is if you look at this team and you compare it to last year's Chicago Bears, if the Giants had this vacancy while Ben Johnson was the top candidate right now, I feel like they'd have a really good chance of landing Ben Johnson because they're very similar. They're set up very similarly to how the Bears were last offseason. But I just don't know if a Ben Johnson's out there in this cycle. Maybe it's Chris Shula. Totally possible. Or maybe you look at it from a different perspective and maybe you say, well, you don't want a Ben Johnson, a cutting edge coordinator. You want the best, you know, possible experienced coach. And maybe Mike Tomlin or Harbaugh, whoever, becomes available and that's who you want. Sure. But whoever that is, I just think they're going to be attractive to this job, whoever the top candidate is, the same way that the top candidates were attracted to Drake May and Caleb Williams. I think Jackson Dart is your top selling point because he has done things this season, Alex, that have made him look like the next big thing. I truly do believe that. I watch the old 22, and obviously I watch every game. It's not just the highlights, the down-to-down things that he does, making changes at the line of scrimmage, the processing pre-snap that everybody questioned him on during the pre-draft process, saying, can he do those things? Yes, and he's really good at them. He reads coverages. He manipulates coverages. He throws with anticipation. He's answered a lot of the questions that draft analysts had, and he's done it with subpar talent around him on the sidelines from the coaching staff and in the wide receiver core, because the Giants didn't add anybody at the trade deadline. They didn't make any major upgrades, and they did lose their star playmaker in Malik Nabers, and they lost their star running back in Cam Scadaboo. So this offense has basically been held up by Jackson Dart. And that's a lot to ask of a rookie, but he has answered that call, and he's done so in such an impressive fashion that I think whoever the top head coaching candidate is going to want to coach him. And they're going to want to coach a guy like Brian Burns. They're going to want to coach a guy like Andrew Thomas. And that's why I think the Giants do have a golden opportunity to turn things around in 2026. I think that they could be the 2026 version of the Chicago Bears. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that they're going to go worst to first and they're going to be the first seed through 13 weeks next season, whatever. But, you know, when I'm looking at the foundation that's here, you've got the star young quarterback, you've got the star young playmaker, and you have some pieces on defense. All you really need is a culture reset. And that's what Ben Johnson provided to the Chicago Bears. He provided them with a cultural reset. Look at the guy. He's ripping his shirt off in the locker room and getting hyped and celebrating with them. I'm not going to lie, though. That does give me 2022 Brian Daboll vibes. And we thought that we had the culture reset with Daboll in 2022. It didn't work out. The plan did not stay on course. But I think that there is an opportunity here where the Giants could find that cultural reset guy and build towards a brighter future next season. I think it could be a quicker turnaround than people expect. So this is different, though. In 2022, we thought that this roster was abysmal. Like, Dave Gettleman built something really terrible, and it was going to take a while to turn it around. We had immediate success in 2022, but then we realized, okay, it is going to take a while to turn it around. I actually don't think it's going to take that long this time. I think that the Giants, if they make the right hiring, Alex, I really think that they could be competitive in 2026.
Yeah, so, you know, just I'll circle back to kind of what you said a second ago, but I'll compare it. Ben Johnson compared to Brian Daboll. What does Ben Johnson do? They're both great offensive minds, but what is Ben Johnson so much better at that is the reason he's doing a really good job right now? I don't know what the future holds, but I do believe that he's going to have a pretty successful career with the Bears. The reason that Ben Johnson is better than Brian Daboll is because Brian Daboll stopped learning. Brian Daboll stopped growing, right? Ben Johnson is always developing, always growing, always at the cutting edge, always innovating. Brian Daboll just stopped, you know? And that was his death wish. You know, that was really what put him on the outskirts of this organization in terms of being the scapegoat in the end, is because he never got better at his job. He made the same mistakes over and over again, and his offense looked the same usually and didn't really adapt. They didn't start to do new things. That's why Shula is a really intriguing prospect. Even if he has the leadership skills and the head coaching qualities, I think that he could be the favorite for this job. I know I said before that I think the Giants will hire someone with experience, but if there's anyone that's going to get this job, it could be a guy like Shula who's inexperienced. And the main reason is he's always growing, always developing, always learning, always adjusting, always innovating. He comes from that type of tree with the Sean McVay. He comes from that type of environment. That's the one that I really want for the Giants, where they're at the cutting edge and they don't stop at the cutting edge. They're always creating the new edge. That's where you find dominance in the NFL. The guys that are always creating the next wave of plays, the next wave of excitement and innovation. The Giants have not had that, right? Joe Judge certainly didn't have that. Pat Shurmur didn't have that. Ben McAdoo didn't have that. We thought Daboll could do that, but it turned out to be not the case. I think being a head coach was just too much for him personally. I don't think he's a great head coach, just a great offensive, you know, play caller or even a quarterback's coach. You know, we'll see how his career ends up developing over the next couple seasons. But if Shula fits those bills where he's like innovative, you know, he's at the cutting edge, but also a good head coach and a good leader, that will be a big eye-opener for ownership, if that's the direction they do go in.
Yeah, I think so too. And that's going to lead us into previewing our next episode. And I'll share with you guys the details on that one, because this is something that we've had a lot of feedback and you know, requests for. So I kind of want to like announce it before we do wrap up this episode. You guys have asked us many times over the last several years to play some Madden on the channel. And I'm happy to tell you, we're going to start playing some Madden on the channel. That's right. This bye week, we're going to have a little fun. We're going to get creative. And we're going to try and make this a part of our regular content. We're going to play some Madden while we podcast. Sometimes we're going to be talking about the game that we're playing, and we're going to do a rebuild series. I think that's what we're going to do tomorrow. We're going to probably theoretically hire Chris Shula and then do the offseason and see what that looks like. That's probably step one in our Madden rebuild series, and we'll see how that goes. And if you guys like it, we'll do more of it. But at the same time, we know that sometimes just watching two guys talk can be a little static, can be a little boring. So why not have a little something else? So I think we're going to try doing a little Alex and I playing against each other in Madden, but at the same time, having our normal Giants conversation, talking about how Joe Shane has screwed things up, talking about how awesome Jackson Dart is, and doing our podcast with some Madden in front of you guys. So if you like that idea, if you want to see us play Fortnite or something else as well, let us know that too. But drop your feedback for us, because obviously we've made some changes to the channel with the thumbnails and with the overlays and the dynamic kind of conversational style with the switching screens. And you guys have given us great feedback so far, but definitely drop some more of it down below. Any ideas that you have for improvement, drop them. And if you want to see that Madden kind of rebuild series or any kind of Madden on here, drop it down below in the comments section. We're always trying to innovate and make sure that this channel is your channel, as great as it can be for you guys, the community, the audience, the viewers. So appreciate everybody tuning in. Like we said, we feel positive about the Giants going into next year. We feel really negative about them right now in this present moment, as I'm sure many of you do too. But looking ahead to 2026, I have reasons to believe the change is forthcoming and that it's going to be a positive change and that we actually could be a pretty good team next year. I've seen some flashes this year, and I don't always want to buy into the flashes, but when the flashes are coming from number six, that rookie quarterback that I really like, man, I don't know. I can't help but buy in for a 2026 turnaround. So we'll talk more about that and about potential head coaching candidates throughout this bye week. Do stay tuned to that. Do make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed. Subscribe if you're new and ring the bell so you don't miss an episode. And definitely comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you listen on Apple or Spotify, make sure to leave us a five-star review and go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, we'll catch you on the next one. Have a good one, and let's go New York Giants. Perfect.